Dear Sangha, today is the 20th of December 2012. We are in the Meditation Hall Assembly of Star, Low Hamlet, in the Plum Village during our winter retreat 2012-2013. Today is the last day of autumn. Tomorrow is the 21st of December. It will be enter officially to the winter. In Up Hamlet, in the past, we have a veranda called Listening to the Rain. What is the wishful name? Listening to the Rain. That listening in the rain now is no longer listen to the rain. But that veranda is invented for us to sit there and to listen to the rain without thinking. When you listen to the rain, you can calm down on the agitation in your mind. This morning, during sitting meditation, I listened to the rain, and then I invite all my ancestors to listen to the rain. And among the ancestors is my father, my mother, who are listening to the rain with me at that moment, this morning. That is the kind of concentration. So dhyana is a concentration, it's not a philosophy. If you use only your intellect, and then you practice Zen meditation, it will not lead you to the non-self. Dhyana, Zen, is the practice. And if you use concentration, body, mind, everything is in us in this very present moment, and then we practice concentration. But we can speak non-self very, very easily, friendly, scholastically, but your ego is very big like that. And so more your ego is big, more yourself is big. The mother is not to speak about non-self, but we practice in the way that you transcend the notion about a self, a separate self, different from others. So during sitting meditation this morning, the monk Choy Tu Tai lead the touching the earth. And this morning we practice touching the earth. And we look deeply about the Mother Earth. Mother Earth. Remember the time when the Buddha was about to be enlightened, and he know that in a very few moments he will achieve that deep insight. And in himself there's a lot of energy of enlightenment, of liberation, of freedom in him. But during that time, the Mara is mean a negative ghost, negative energy appear. And so the Bhatwan Mara said that, "Are you sure? No, don't be so optimistic. You are not enlightened. You will not be enlightened. Who can witness that you will be enlightened? Why you feel that is a lot of energy, that you will be free? Who can witness this? The world is under my direction. My direction is darkness, is suppression, is..." And how you know that you will be liberated? And during that moment, the Buddha touched the earth. He used his left hand. He touched Mother Earth, and he said that there is this Mother Earth who witnessed me, and I have been successful to be obtain my freedom, and I will be free in 24 hours. And when the Mother Earth was touched by Shirakta, Mother Earth shivered, and then Mother Earth bloomed and offered a lot of flower, and then the Mara have seen that really Siddhartha have been successful. We surrender. Mara will surrender. The darkness will surrender. And the Buddha said, I have been enlightened. I have been free for many generations already. And this is also that liberation. In the future, if Maitreya will be enlightened, it's the same. It's also that stream of wisdom, that stream of freedom will enlighten and lead the enlightenment for the whole planet Earth. And so we have the witness of Mother Earth, and then we will pretend to die and to go back to our Mother Earth, and we manifest again, and we go back to Mother Earth, and we manifest again and again and again, and we follow the stream of light, of wisdom, of freedom. So every time when you touch the earth, or you do it alone, or you do it together with the other friend in the Dharma, when your five parts of your body touch the earth, your head, the two arms, two legs, when I sit tight, I always see that it's not an individual who touch the earth. I touch the earth together with many lineage of my blood family, environment family, spiritual family, and I touch the earth together with that stream of life. And I see in this body the presence of my father, mother, great-grandpa, grandpa, all the generation of my blood ancestor, my environment ancestor, my spiritual ancestor. It's like a stream. I do not see that I have a separate self. When I touch the earth, it's always I join my palm. And when I touch the earth, when my five part of my body touch earth, and I see very clear that it's not an individual, a separate self, but it's on the stream of genetic and spiritual stream of my family. And then when I touch earth, and I feel free, I'm free from the separate self, I'm free from, and it's the whole lineage of my ancestors who are with me, obtaining the freedom. You need only a little bit of mindfulness, a little bit of concentration, and you see that mindfulness, concentration, and insight, and you are really a free person. You are not caught by your separate self. You are not caught by your ego, your separate self, but that concentration is totally present during the time where my five part of my body touch the earth. My head, my forehead, my two knees, my two arms, my hand, we touch the earth. And many years like that, I have looked deeply. I always use that we. I do not say I. I say that we. We in me, we is my student, monastic, non-monastic, my generation, genetic lineage, my spiritual lineage, my environment lineage. And I pray so that all our ancestors, we all pray so that we can lead to a global ethics, in order for this planet to suffer less. So it's not the vow of one individual, but the vow of the whole lineage of my blood family, spiritual family, environment family, And that is a big vow for this planet. The future generation will profit from the global ethics to liberate themselves. So when I touch the earth like that, I breathe in and out and in and out 3 times. So those of you who take care of the bell, you have to do it. You have to breathe in and out 3 times and a little bit more for those who have a longer breath. And so you see that the practice of the whole lineage of your genetic family, spiritual family, environment, they are with you. And so when I stand up, I see that the whole, all this generation stand up with me. Touch the earth with me. So every touching of the earth, I have done like that. And I wish that all of you, when you touch the earth, you do like that. Don't do like an individual. Do it like a stream of your ancestor. And you also can see a stream of your descendants to be with you in that touching of the earth, in that deep bow. And so when you look at a person, this person, it could be your big brother or big sister in the Dharma, or a friend in the Dharma, or a little boy, a little girl. You have to look in that way, the way of non-self. You have to look at each one not as an individual. Like a separate self, you have to see all the lineage of his genetic family, spiritual family, ancestor, environment family, and you have to train to see each person like that. And you see in him on this lineage, and in her on this lineage. And then if you look deeper, you can see that the ancestor is not only human beings. Because before the human beings appear, our ancestors were also mammifers. And before mammifers is also reptile. And then go deep and unicellular. And then before that, we also have vegetal ancestor too. And so our ancestor is not only your human ancestor, but you can see also the ancestor of the animal ancestor, vegetal ancestor, and you can see the planet. And the planet is also the big ancestor. And so you can see the mist, the rock, the all come together to make that human ancestor, that vegetal ancestor, animal ancestor, human beings. And if you can see such a person, you can see everything. You see the non-self of that person. That person have all this quality, the talent, the generosity, the beauty, but that person have also the weaknesses, the bad thing, and on this bad thing of that person is not that person. Because it's a streaming of the bad thing of that person, and he cannot prevent that. And so we have to be aware in order to help him and help her to nourish more in the light, the beauty, the global ethics way. And so when you love somebody, you have the impression that you hold that person. I know that you are. You fell in love with somebody and you decide to marry her and you think that you know who is her. That is a wrong perception. If you fell in love with somebody, you have to see that person is a very wonderful being, that you are still very ignorant about him or about her. We have to fall in love. The advice of the Buddha, and to be humble of that of your perception about him. You have to see in him his father, his mom, his genetic ancestor, spiritual ancestor, environment ancestor is the same for you, and you too. And then you have to see you in him too, you in her too. And that is the deep look of interbeing, a deep look of non-self. Like it's a nation who welcome a new ambassador. And then the new ambassador have to come to pay respect to the president or the king in order to present the diplomatic letters and in order to show that he is a representative of the, such a nation. So a new ambassador have to present his credential letter representing the whole nation of this country. And so the president have to look at that man, not as an individual, but you have to see in the ambassador is the representative of the whole nation. And the whole nation is the right wing, the left wing, the middle wing, and everything you envelop. You see them in the whole. When you speak one sentence to this person, you are speaking to the whole nation of this nation. And if you reproach something, it means you reproach the whole nation. It's the same when you look at the other person. The other person could be the person you cherish a lot, and or the person that you hate, you don't like, you don't feel inspired to be close to him. Don't look at him or her like an individual. You have to see in him or in her, behind him, around him, in every of his cell, in every of his or her cell, on the lineage of his genetic ancestor, spiritual ancestor, environment ancestor, you can see the non-self of that person. And you have to look at each person that way. The one you love, you also have to train to see in that way. The one you hate, you also have to train to see him in that way. Like, I look at that flower. I thought that I know that flower. Oh, it's an orchid we bought in the market, 16-year-old or something. No, it's not. It's too superficial way to see. You have to look deeper. And you see that in this flower, there is the earth. Have you seen the earth? But the earth who nourished the orchid is not the same than the earth you see. And you see in the earth of that nourish that flower, there is the bones of animal who are deteriorated, and there is the mess of leaf rotten in autumn, in winter. Maybe there is the bones of your grandpa and grandma. And if you look deep, you can see your own bones in the past. In the past, you have been something on this planet Earth. And then your bones have been deteriorated and become that soil. And that little soil that the orchid was nourished. So when you look at that flower, you can see that it's not only your ancestor in that, but you only see you yourself in that. In that flower, there is you. In the flower, there is you. And you ate many of flower, like a cauliflower is a kind of flower, and then you eat many kind of zucchini is also you eat also the leaf of the flower. In you, there is leaf, there is flower, and if you look at the flower in that way, you really see a flower. Don't see a flower like, oh, that orchid, or that is flower I bought in the market. Yeah. So, this afternoon, or tomorrow, when you look at the person you love, or the person you don't love, look at her, look at him with that concentration and with that vision, deep vision, and you can see, and your way of looking thing is different, and you will be liberated. there is four questions the Buddha didn't answer. There are many, of course, but there's four main. In fact, it's 16 questions that the Buddha refused to answer because it will lose his time. He said that it's not necessary to answer. So in the Sutra Anulado, Anuruddha, I think, there is this Anuruddha who, after baking Ambram, and he had been stopped by a number of others, monk from other spiritual tradition, it's not the Buddha tradition. And they ask Anuruddha, I have to ask you one question. Your Shakyamuni, your teacher, have said something about the future. When he passed away, he will exist or he will not be existent. Or he is in the same time existing and not existent. Or he will be not existent, not existent. So you have to answer this question. For proposition. You still exist. You won't exist. When you pass away, you exist or not existing. When the Buddha passed away. Or he is in the same time existing, but in the same time non-existent. Or non-existent and non-non-existent. There is only four proposals to answer. There is only that one. Yes, still being there. You have to answer. Because I don't see Shakyamuni, you are his student, you have to answer. When your teacher, Gautama, passed away, he's still there or not? Or he's nothing, he will be nihilan, nothing? Or he is in the same time, existent, non-existent, or non-existent and non-non-existent? Anuruddha said that, I have never heard my teacher about his assistant under that the umbrella of these four questions. So I cannot answer to you. I cannot answer that the first proposal is correct, or the second is correct, or the third is correct, or the fourth is correct. And in fact, the Buddha is the same. And we sometimes we also have that question. Yes, existent, non-existent, or in the same time existent and non-existent, or non-existent and non-non-existent. So Anuruddha answer in that way, never spoke about these four proposals, and he never tried to answer these four questions. And the other monk is not satisfied. They were not satisfied of the answer of Anuruddha. And they said that, that is a young monk, he doesn't know anything. And they run, they go away. And then Anuruddha go back to the, we have to go back and to request, to ask that question to the Buddha, because next time when they ask a question, I will answer properly. So that afternoon, the Ambrown and go back and eat, and he came to see the Buddha and he asked that question. And the Buddha looked at Anuruddha and said, and the Buddha said that now you answer to me. I am this body or not? Nila is Tathagata, it means suchness. But usually people call the Buddha suchness. Nila is suchness. Suchness is that body? And then if the Buddha is that body, no? And if the Buddha is this body, and so everybody is that body, so is form is Tathagata? No, form is not the Tathagata. Feeling, perception, mental formation, consciousness is not the Tathagata. Tathagata. So Tathagata, it means then the way people call the Buddha. Tathagata is outside of the form? No. Outside of the form, there is no Buddha. Is the Buddha outside of feeling, perception, mental formation, consciousness? So, where is Tathagata? Tathagata is not in the form, it's not the feeling, it's not in the perception, not in the consciousness. So, where is the Tathagata? So, there is no Tathagata, no Gautama Buddha? So Anuruddha have seen that. So he realized that he cannot catch the Buddha by his perception, or he cannot classify the Buddha by his mental categories, his kind of a formula, a kind of perception, his mental structure. Usually that mental construction. You cannot use your mind to construct the Buddha in this way and other way. You cannot use your hand to hold the wind. You cannot hold the perfume, the fragrance of something. You cannot use your hand to. So with, you cannot hold the Buddha. But it means that the Buddha does not exist. No, it's not correct. In fact, there is Tathagata, there is the Buddha. The Buddha is walking, the Buddha is smiling, the Buddha is giving a Dharma talk, but you can get hold of the Buddha. Bhakkhada cannot grasp. You cannot grasp the Buddha. And when the Buddha asks a number of questions, Anuruddha cannot answer. He cannot answer. He can say that no. And the Buddha said that. And then, I am sitting in front of you, but you cannot grasp me. So, how you can grasp me when I am not in this body? In this present moment, I am sitting in front of you, and you cannot grasp me. You cannot say yes to everything is me. And so, when I am no longer there, and then how you can, how can use that any formula to describe me? And so, when I'm no longer there, you cannot say that I exist, I don't exist, I'm not non-exist. That is a loss of time. It's a loss of time. You don't need to grasp by that. And so in Plum Village, we have a practice very easy. We sit, we breathe in, we breathe out, and then sometimes you are lazy and you say that, let the Buddha breathe, let the Buddha walk. And then you say that, oh, today I'm too tired, Buddha, I would not walk. But I let you walk. And then you say, oh, today I'm lazy, I don't want to do sitting meditation. Buddha, I let you to sit. But the Buddha in you will go and sit, not you. And then when you sit, ask the Buddha to sit, the quality of your breathing will be very light. Very, very light, very sweet, very solid, very profound. And then there is a quality of the breathing. And even if the Buddha sit, the quality of the sitting position is very beautiful, very profound. And if the Buddha walk is not the same. It will be very relaxing, very free. And so you cannot find the Buddha outside of the five skandhas. And if you say that you try to find the Buddha outside the skandhas, you cannot. And you find the Buddha in the skandhas, every skandhas is not. In the five skandhas is not. And so with that five skandhas, and then you sit in this way, you have the Buddha. But you sit in different way, you have no Buddha. You walk with this body, you walk, it's not the Buddha. But with the Buddha in you, you walk differently. And so if you say that the Buddha is this body, it's not correct. And this, the Buddha is not outside of this body, it's not correct either. So we come back to the sentence in the sutra, Udana, it means no question, but the Buddha just give it an answer. And so in this world, we see that there is birth, there is death, there is existence, there is non-existent. There is a subject, there is an object, there is the becoming. The becoming of everything who is manifesting, the becoming. The word becoming is better than existence, because you see that they come and they increase or decrease. Is no separate self. They include the impermanence and non-self in that. So becoming is better than the word existence. So birth and death. And who is being and non-being? And the third word is actor and action. And Han is formation, but there is conditioner and conditions. Conditioning, conditioner, conditions. So all the things, they give each other many conditions. One formation, it means one things will not be alone by itself. There's many, many conditions coming together and to make a formation. So Han, here is a formation, is made with many conditions. So in every Dhamma is things, it's not Dhamma with capital, Dhamma with minuscule. And Dhamma is the things, sometimes they call formation. And so every formation is great, is conditioned by a number of conditions, but they are also conditioned to other formation. So these four, Jata is in Sanskrit, Jata, Buddha, Katha, Sankata. That is Sanskrit term. Four. Jata is born, birth and death, and existent, not existent. Katha is becoming, and Sankata is own formation. In our world, in the world of relative world, Thay make a mistake when he said that Bangmong is ultimate, but it must be relative. There is Yes, there is no, there is that formation, and formation is conditioned by many other conditions, and this formation is also conditioned to other formation. That is in the world of historical dimension, the world of relativity. There's you, I, up, down, left, right. But in the end, in the Udana Vagga, it means the sutra where nobody asks any question, but the Buddha just answer. And the Buddha said, there are birth, death, and existent, non-existent, etc. But there is the non-birth, death, non-existent, non-existent, non-beckoning, and non-formation. He said that there are these four up, but there is the other non. So he put the same, but with the word are in advance of the only word I mean no. So, dear friends, there is no birth, no existence, no becoming, and no formation. So, no birth, no death, no existence, no becoming, and no formation. And no formation. In the sutra, wandering on the ultimate dimension, wandering on the outer spaces, the world. So in the Nehuang chapter and of Chinese version, there is that sentence. Boshin, hu boshin, wohu boshahan. It means no. This means who mean existent, no existent, no action or becoming, and no shahan, it means no object of becoming, of action. The first sentence, Tikhao Bhikkhu, Jem Bhikkhu, the Bhikkhu is which will be translated, dear Bhikkhu. In the world, there is the birth, death. There is existent, non-existent. There is becoming and non-becoming. There is formation and non-formation. That is a historical dimension, relative dimension. But when you look deeper and you see that there is a no birth, no death, no existence, no non-existent, there is no becoming, a no accompanying becoming, and no formation, no formation. Sometimes they translate with action, but sometimes he is becoming.
Devotion.
So here, so the no birth, no death, in that the first word, second word, no, no, no being, no non-being, and no becoming, no, no becoming. So dear Bhikkhu, in life there is birth, death, there is existence, there is becoming, there is a formation, but there is also no birth, no death, no existence, no becoming, no, no becoming, and no formation, no, no formation. So that word tan, formation, we can see in two ways. When that formation help other condition, that formation is a condition who can help other things to be become. And so we call it nanghan. It means a subject. The subject. The one who give the condition. When the other condition come together for you to build up, and that you are Shahan. You are formation and you are formationer. And so like and then when you are one part of others, you are Nanghan, and you are the fruit of the other formation to come, you are Shahan. Like you are the flower, sunshine and earth is make you the flower is you are Nanghan and you are Shahan. But if the flower make the table beautiful, that is Nanghan. So the flower is Nanghan. The flower make the whole decoration of the table is beautiful, is Nanghan, is conditioner. And then if the flower is the fruit of many other conditions like the earth, the sky, the sunshine, and they are Shahan. So what we just learned in that Sutra Anuradha, that both has no becoming. In the light of no becoming, you cannot find the subject. You have no subject, no object, no. No retribution. We have learned already several times last week. Many, many times in the past during our winter retreat. So, Khong Junyang is no actor, no the owner. There is that body that is, but there is no owner. It means a no separate self. You have that body quite different from even the body of your brother or sister, but there's no proprietor. There's body, but no proprietor, no owner of that body. There's so many conditions who make you to be yourself. And that is only the coming of many formation, many conditions. So there's no actor. No actor, no otter. That, yeah, usually we say, don't say my otter. A-U-T-H-O-R. No actor, no otter. Otter. There's no one who receives it. No filler. You have the feeling, but no filler. Kalam is a retribution, the fruit of what you have done. So you have the fruit of what you have done. You have action, but there is no honor of that action. Sometimes you do something so wonderful. It's not you, it's your ancestor. Wonderful ancestor coming together and condition is like that, so you act. But you are not the owner. And so he tried to write in Sanskrit this. No honor, no actor, and no retribution, no fruit of your work, of the work. So you look deeply, there is no separate self. That is why from the beginning of winter retreat until now, we have learned three things. The first thing we already learned, that in Buddhism there is the teaching of samsara. Samsara is reincarnation. There is also teaching of karma, the fruit of the action. There is also, we learn about retribution, the fruit of your action. Action, the fruit of something happened. Action. However, these three things have been existing before the insight of the Buddha, before the Buddha was enlightened. But the Buddha used them anyway, and as a kind of the foundation of that, but he make it clearer, more profound, and more go in detail, and then you have to see in a deeper way, and you can see that there is samskara, but it's not a separate self who run after this body to another body. There is many input and many output. So if you think that there is a separate soul who go from this body to other body and receive the same tribution, that is the view, the vision of very eternal self before the Buddha was enlightened. So when the Buddha was enlightened, he saw that there is no separate self. You also have that action, you have also the fruit of action, but it's not the owner. And so then in order to explain each way, you say that, oh, there is samsara, there is the retribution, the fruit of your action, and so on. And so it's a very simplified way. So many, many teachers in the past explain in a way, it looks like there is a separate soul who go to this body to other. And so in Theravada tradition, they also use kind of, they invent something like Bhagavanda, and they call this a kind of continuum of life. And that continuum of life, the Hu Feng Thức, is something like a kind of self. In the Savastivada, there is the mula vijnana. It means the basic consciousness. Mula, base. Oh, In Samitaya also, they eat sato consciousness. And in Vishnanavada, there is Alaya Vishnana. In order to search for something like a self, but it's not a self. So it proves that the majority of people want to have something continuous and continue. And in the teaching of the Theravada, there is dharma, not nghiệp, mean karma, and bao, retribution, but there is no eternal soul. And so the question is, when the Buddha passed away, is the Buddha exist? And the Buddha exists or not existing? Or non-existent and non-existent is also express that deep wish of people who want to know, is anything eternal, continue? And then why the Buddha said that? That idea, that notion about nihilism or eternalism is very short view, very superficial view. And so sometimes people ask, the one who act wrongly and the one who receive the fruit is the same? And then like today, you did something wrong. About 3 years later, and then you receive something. And so you are the same person who create that bad action 3 years ago and the what person who received the bad fruit now. And then you say that is the same person or different. And if the Buddha said that, if it's the same, and then he is caught in the eternal soul. So, because he saw that everything is changing every shatna, shorter than a second. And if he said that there is that person who receive and that who act wrongly and that person to receive the fruit of action, he's caught by what he also invite us to look deeper and to look deeper. And so he had to say that I do not say that is separate self. I do not say that 3 years later is the same. No. So he do not say that extremist, but he said the middle path. I mean, it's not the same, but it's not different. No sameness, no sameness. So it's not the existence or nihilism. So right view must transcend these two extremes of eternalism and nihilism. And so the Buddha cannot answer. Because he cannot say like that, because if he say like that, he's caught. And he say like other way, he's caught. So he said that, no comment. You have to feel, and you have to see by yourself. If I answer, you are caught into that eternalism or nihilism. And so the Sutra Anuruddha that you learn is like that. You cannot answer these three proposal question. And then if you say yes or no, you are caught. So that body of the Buddha is a formation coming from many conditions. Your body is also a formation coming from many conditions. And that is not a separate self. It's not an ego and not a separate self. So you see that there is no owner, there is action. this action but not honor. And then you see that action are empty. The empty, it means not a separate self. Not separate self, but it still exists. And so, there's no svabhava. Like the flower. You look deep, you see that many elements who are not flower. There is bones of animal and a rotten leaf. There is mist. There is dew. There is so many things. But there is one thing it doesn't exist. It means the separate self, the separate nature of the flower. The flower must rely on sunshine, on the mist, on the earth, on everything in order to be the flower. So the flower have to rely on so many conditions to be the flower. When we say like that, it doesn't mean that the flower doesn't exist. No. The flower have no separate self. The flower is only made with many conditioners, many elements who are not flower. You look, five skandhas of the Buddha, form, feeling, mental formation, is not the Buddha. But if you say that these form, feeling are the Buddha, it's not correct. If it's not the Buddha, it's not correct. It's a coming together of such a moment, such a time, such a space. It's behave like that. It's a Buddha. But if such moment, such, but it's some little negative element is behaved differently, it's no longer a Buddha. So we look deeply into the five skandhas, five group of elements, you see that everything is empty. Empty, it means empty a separate self. It doesn't mean that empty is nothingness. Empty doesn't mean nihilism. So it's not separate. So when the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara look deep into the five skandhas, form, feeling, mental formation, they see that everything is empty of separate self. And the Theravada emphasize too much. Also, there is a Dharma, but there is no self. There are Dharmas, but there is no owner. So the teaching of aimlessness, there is action, there is no actor. And Theravada have explained thoroughly about that. Like there is rain, but there is no the rainer, the one who make rain. There is no actor who make the rain. There is enough condition. When the condition are like that, there is many drops, we call rain, so but there's no rainer. And there is your eyes in touch with something, there is the seeing but not a seer. Because there is your eyes in touch with the form, and then you see something, but no owner of the seeing. And there is thinking but not thinker. When there is no thinker standing outside of the thoughts come from the that in touch with that is we make the thought, the thinking. And in the Thanten Dao Leng is a kind of a famous commentaries book that they call of the Theravada. And there is suffering, but there is the owner of that suffering. There is suffering, but there is no owner of that suffering. The suffering is there, but there is no subject, no the person who owns the suffering. The action, but there's no actor. There's nirvana. Nirvana, it means the extension of it. But there's no one who enter into nirvana. There's a path, but there's no one who walk the path. That is the teaching of Theravada. Stivara in the time, but now it has become Theravada. So there is nirvana, but you don't need an owner who enter into nirvana. So for many hundred years, people spoke about the third thing, the things exist, but the owner is not there. Things happen, things exist, but the owner of the work is not there. So sometimes they are a little bit too rigid, too dogmatic. And then there is someone who sit there, and there is a person. And have you seen a young lady who passed by here? I do not see any young lady. I see the coming of many form, feeling, mental formation cross by, but I do not see any young lady. And so it's too dogmatic. It's not realistic. And so people will not accept, and people don't like that. That is too dogmatic. Because I sit there, I don't see any young lady. I see a coming of many elements like form, feeling, aggregation of things, aggregate to come. And so that person, there is a self, but the self is changing. There is many input, many output. And so there is a self, but the self is input and output is not a separate hermetic self. If you say in that way, it's easier for people to accept. Yeah, I was there at 3 years old, but I also there, but many input, many output. I'm not the same that myself at 3 years old. I'm not the same. And so in the past we have Gyatha. I listen. This wonderful sound bring me back to my true self. And there is, in the past I have given that Gyatha, and then somebody rejects saying that the Buddha said that there is no self. And why in Brahm Village they say that I listen. Is bring my true self. Not because you are too rigid. If you know that the self is made of non-self element, you are not caught by. You are safe. If you know that that self is made from many other things, it's not self, and then you are no longer caught. Because we are afraid of one word. We are allergic, dogmatic to one word. And you said that I and you have a walk together. I and you, we go and have a walk, it's okay. But I listen to the wonderful self. So if we say that there is a self, but that self is impermanent, it's changing. And if you do like that, you are more human. You are not dogmatic. It's a stream of self. There is many input, many output, and input and output. You see that stream. So before the 100 years before Jesus Christ, there is a number of teacher, a number of Buddhist teacher. Develop a number of things. Yeah. And if the Stivara said that there is, and then Sarvastivada said that everything exists, and the other one that. And at 100 years before Jesus Christ, there is a school who are kind of reaction. And so that is a new sutra appear, is a Prajnaparamita. And then Prajnaparamita said that the Bodhisattva looking deeply and see that these five skandhas, but they are empty, and so he overcome and so that new tradition of Buddhism developed, that the teaching of the no bohan is no action, no action. Not to be lost in what we learn at the beginning. Nghiệp means karma, the fruit of your action. Luân hồi is samsara, reincarnation, body after body. And then karma, the fruit of your action, the retribution. Yeah, it means it still exists, but you don't have a separate self. There is action, there is fruit of your action, but you don't need to have a separate self. Like you see the flower, the cloud on the sky. The cloud have no separate self. The cloud is a coming of a lot of vapor of water, and then one part of the cloud become rain, and it look like the cloud die, but the cloud do not die. The cloud from the form of cloud become rain. The cloud become rain, and when arrive to here, the rain will become a river, and the rain, the drop of rain die in order to become a river, and the river evaporate, and then you can have the water vapor, and the vapor of water die in order to become cloud. So look outside, you see that there is birth, there is death, the death of the cloud to become rain, the death of the rain to become river, the death of the river to become vapor, the vapor to become cloud. And so there is, and they don't need a separate self. They don't need a separate self. They don't have an eternal self. It's the same for the wind. You don't need the actor to make the wind. When it's wind, it's wind. And you don't need a separate self to make the wind. You don't need a separate self to make the rain. And so we learn that there is samsara, there is karma, there is retribution, but there is a no owner. That is not the creation, discovering of the Buddha, but he received the belief, the normal belief, but he elaborate more deeper. So he received the same, like everyone before he was enlightened, but he make it clearer and deeper and more elaborate. And so, so we can see that the second thing we learn, the three Dhammasio that we learned during our winter retreat, is the three Dhammasio have been transmitted by Stavira Skun, and after that become Theravada, is not really correct, because they said that the impermanence, non-self, but the third one, the correct teaching of the Buddha in the time of the Buddha with the Pali text is proved that the third Dhammasio is Nirvana. But they transmit for many thousands, many hundred years, like the Dhammasio is impermanent, no self, and suffering. And in the last many weeks or a few months that we learned during our winter retreat, we learned that it's not correct to think that suffering is the third Dhammasio. And then the third one we learn, that is the condition And the 12 links, and the 12 link is also a kind of try to explain the historical dimension, but do not help us to be in touch with the ultimate dimension. So the way in the past people explain the 12 link of co-arising condition is just too relative. It's not go to the ultimate direction. And so at the beginning, I already write a Z, and Z in the upper part of the Z is a relative world, and the low part of the Z is the ultimate dimension. And the path to lead from the relative dimension to the ultimate dimension, and that path to lead from the relative world to the ultimate world is the, that is entering being and many conditions to come together. So you come from the relative world, you go to the ultimate world, and then we have to use the yunkai, it means a co-arising condition, and the middle way, middle path. So yunkai is co-arising condition. And then that is because this is because that is. That is born because it's born. That is die because this die. Even we use the word birth, death, but they skillfully lead you to the ultimate dimension. That birth, death, becoming, dying, but then ultimate dimension, no birth, no death, no coming, no going, no left, no right. I'm you, you are me, I'm you with the good one, I'm you with the bad things, and so that is ultimate dimension. But from the relative dimension to the ultimate dimension, you need to use the co-arising condition and the interbeing and the middle path in order to lead you to the ultimate dimension. And then that path to lead you from the relative dimension to the ultimate dimension is the wisdom of adaptation. And so the way people explain the 12 links is only can explain the past, the present, the future, but do not help you to be in touch with the ultimate dimension. And so you have to rearrange again in order to have that. And then you have a kind of base to rearrange. And so there is a birth, death, becoming, information. And so I rearrange so that you also have the links, the teaching of co-arising condition, but it's not the way they explained in the past. We have to summarize properly before you start New Year. So first there is woman. Woman is ignorance. Because you are ignored, we see that this world have many formation. This world is formation. And this formation really exists. This birth and death and everything, self and dharma. But we don't see that. We don't see that the link, because you ignore, you are ignorant, so you don't see that the interbeing, the that is, because that is. And so you live totally in the discriminate world. the world of mental construction is your mind who construct, who paint, who make a kind of mold where you enter into that mold, and then you are in the world of mental construction. And because you are in that world of mental construction, you see that there is the actor, there is action, there is separate self being actor and this action, and there is the receiver, and so on. Because you see a separate self, you see different other teaching, other elements, and then you are caught by the idea of existing or not existing. Because you are caught in the notion of existing and non-existing, and you are caught by the action and actor and existence and non-existence, because we are caught by that, and you are caught by the notion of birth and death, because you are caught in the notion of birth and death, and then you are samsara. It means you suffer, you strong emotion, birth, death, old age, etc. And so when you remember the illustration I use about the cloud, you are caught by the cloud. You don't see that the cloud exists or not exist. We think that when the cloud is there, it exists, and when there is no longer a cloud, it is no existence. But you have, and you think that the cloud is not there, is non-existent, because of your ignorance, and then you see that there is cloud, is different from non-cloud. But you have to look deeper and to see the cloud is rain, and rain is water, water is vapor of water, and so on. So you are caught by that short view, that you see that the cloud is there, no longer there, the cloud die, and then there is birth and death. And then, but if you are clarity, instead of ignorance, you are clarity, you are right view. And you can see that all the formation are all interdependent, is interbeing. We see that there is no self, no separate self, and we see that there is no existence, no existence. You are in the middle of that, not existent, no, not existent. And you have to see that in the Sutra Katyayana, where the Buddha explained that right view is transcend the yes and the no, the existent and the non-existent. In the Katyayana Sutra, the Buddha make clear about that. And you see the interdependence on that. And then you see the non-self of everything. And when you see the non-self of everything, and you transcend the notion about yes or no, existent or no existent, and when you transcend the notion of existence and non-existent, and then you touch the no birth, no death. Because the cloud do not have birth and death, but because you look short and you see that there's birth and the death of the cloud. And then when you arrive to the nirvana, is the extinction of all these notion, birth, death, coming, no big, no coming, and then you touch the nirvana, is the ultimate reality. And so if you bring the 12 links explaining in the past, you use only 6, and so that 6 will be the path leading you from the relative world into the ultimate world. And so, I repeat again, so ignorance in the past lead to formation, formation to the consciousness, and then namarupa, body and mind, and then six sense organ and six object of sense organ, and then contact, and then feeling and attachment and grasping and birth and old age. And you see that the birth and death is here. Birth, death include in here. And so you have the existent, that you must be said existent and non-existent. Becoming or non-becoming, sometimes we translate like that. And grasping is you are caught. You are caught. To grasping. And is equivalent to action and actor. And there are three kind of complex: low self-esteem, high self-esteem, and equal self-esteem. So you are caught by a separate self, so you have high self-esteem or low self-esteem, or you see that you are equal to others. And so hand formation is the same here in both sides. I try to summarize, condense, and transcend the from the ultimate relative world to the ultimate. So you can bring the thức consciousness here. Consciousness is here. Consciousness is before. And because of you are ignored, that you have a kind of the mind of discrimination. You discriminate that you are different from your father, your mom. You are different from your son, your daughter. You have that discrimination consciousness. So according to the logic, it's very, because you have a wrong perception that you discriminate. You say that you are different from your mom, you are different from your dad, you are different from him who is good and him or her who is bad. You discriminate. Because you have right view, and then you see deep, and you see that there is no discrimination. And because ignorant, that you have discriminative mind, but thanks to the clarity of your mind, you see that there is no separate self. So because you discriminate, you have the owner and the action and so on. So if you ignorance, consciousness, discrimination, discernation, and then action, and then the fourth one is existent and non-existent, or becoming or non-becoming, and then birth and death. Grasping is the fourth. And the sixth is birth and death. And because of that, you go to samsara. Because in this formation, there is already five skandhas. So this, that is in the group of five skandhas. It's not so important. So based on the sutra, Udana Panga, you see that you can restore a kind of set of links who help you to come from the relative world to the ultimate world. And so, because of ignorance, you have consciousness of discernation, of discrimination, and then you act wrongly, and then you... And so when you are no longer ignorant, you are clarity, and then you have clear consciousness of non-discrimination, and then you have no self, and then you transcend the becoming and non-becoming, and then you arrive to the extension of on the notion in order to be totally in the reality. And there's no birth, no death, no. So if you have that, and then you see that the aim of the practitioner is coming from the relative world to the ultimate world. So the aim of dhyana, the aim of meditation, Buddhist according to the Buddha, you have to transcend the fear of birth and death. And then you transcend in the time of the Buddha, when the Buddha was born. And many people think that samsara is suffering. And then when you stop samsara, you stop suffering. And they are lost. And the samsara, they understood is that, and this is the teaching before the Buddha was enlightened. And so there is a separate soul who go from this body to other body. And when one day you are enlightened, and then you join Atma, who is God, who is... and they don't search for the emptiness, for the... And in Buddhism, we arrive to the no birth. The no birth here is, it means no birth, no birth, no death. And so that no birth here, it means you arrive to the ultimate dimension. So you search for no birth, it means that you want to have an eternal death. This is not correct. In the past, we think that we have to go outside of that circle of birth and death, and then it means you go to the internal death to somewhere. And so you have that right view. You transcend that existent and non-existent. You don't search for the eternal death in order to go out of that samsara circle. You continue to join, to ride on that ocean of birth and death, but you are enlightened, you are free, you don't have a separate self, but you continue to ride on that ocean of birth and death. Why in the past you think that then you die and then you totally no longer in that world, you have an eternal death and to join God. But here is not the way like that. When the cloud see that there are no birth, because when they disintegrate the cloud see that they are rain, and when they disintegrate the rain, they become a river, and so they are not afraid. And so they think that when you die, you enter into nirvana. Sometimes there is one in Malaysia, there is a company who have only and it's only take care of funeral, and they have the name Nirvana. So Nirvana is eternal death. And so they take care of only for death. Because if the cloud know that they don't die, they just transform into wonderful rain and then wonderful river and wonderful vapor of water. And so, but they write on that transformation with joy, with happiness. Oh, become a rain is wonderful as cloud. And become the river is wonderful as. And then to become vapor of water is also wonderful. So they continue to go samsara, but joyfully, happily, freely. They don't need to have eternal death and to go out of that world. This world is still there. But you see differently. Your look is different and you enjoy everything. You are free on everything. And so we arrive to the Nirvana, Ho-Uju, and Bo-Uju. It means, and there is no Nirvana where you need to enter because you are already in Nirvana. You only open your eyes and be free of this notion. And then you are already on Nirvana. You don't need to go anywhere. You are in same you, in this family, you in this world, you in this body, but you are free. But so, because the cloud is from nothing to become something, no. They see that they are in the form of the cloud, and then they become rain is also wonderful, and they become river also wonderful, and vapor of water is also wonderful, and so they don't need to run to search for, and so they don't need to enter into Nirvana. They are already Nirvana. They are already in Nirvana. If they switch their view, their ignorant view, into the enlightened view. Next time, I will continue that the fourth part. Because in the many Buddhists, the Nirvana have two kinds. The you, there is something, some little trace of affliction. And there is Bo-Uju, it means a Nirvana where there is no trace of affliction. And the Nirvana of Ho-Uju. And then when you die only, you become the Nirvana totally free. And then Ho-Uju, it means that when you are in this body, you still have in Nirvana, you will have that some trace of suffering. But for me, it's wrong. Because when the Buddha was alive in this very body, he's still in the Nirvana. And the Nirvana, and so the interpretation of many schools who see that when you die, and then you have the total Nirvana, and when you are alive with this body, you still have Nirvana with some trace of suffering. That is wrong. Dear friends, those of you who listen in English, please aware that there is a little booklet for young people about five powers.